and a very good Friday morning to you. Adam here, co-hosting the Pastor's Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. Show is broadcast every Friday morning, about 9:13 a.m. Eastern until 10, and previous episodes are always available in the archives section of our website, wwgh1071.com. Pastor Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing great. So welcome to Community Christian Fellowship this morning. This is the Pastor's Spot, a weekly radio show done here by Community Christian Fellowship. And I'm kind of doing this odd, doing some, we're doing it remotely again, and if there's any bumps in the road, you'll know why. So coming to you today and talking about some current events and some things going on. We have a lot of neat things going on here at the church at Community Christian Fellowship here in Prospect. Again, we're at 209 East Water Street, right next to where they're doing all the construction traffic. But I think it's all going to be nice when it's done. We started this week, was our first week of summer lunch program, which is going very well. We've got quite a few kids coming for lunch every day, and we have a nice lunch ready for them to take home. And we have some other things going on. I know this morning was the Thursday morning Bible story time for the little ones, and that was great. Once again, we had a good turnout for that. We did coffee this week. Our coffee, we serve coffee and pastries in front of the church, typically on Friday morning. This week we did it on Wednesday because I'm not sure if we have one here tomorrow or not. Just a lot of neat things going on. We've got a baptism service scheduled for actually our church service on Father's Day is going to be at Fulton Creek, the dairy at Fulton Creek right there on 257 and Fulton Creek Road. We're going to have our church service there followed by a baptism in Fulton Creek, which should be quite an event and quite nice. For those that are participating in doing that. Adam, you still there, buddy?
Yes, Pastor Steve, right here.
Yeah, Adam, what do you think about the some of the recent events in the last day? And it looks like they're going to be, it's kind of pretty bizarre, they're going to have this special on January 6th event on TV tonight, like it's a, and it is, it's a Hollywood production, basically. They're going to be... wow, we sure have politicized our news media, have we not?
Very much, and the divisiveness continues to increase. A lot is being made of the event, and we all have our opinions. Certainly, it may come out in the wash. A lot of what I'm hearing is Fox News not covering it because they're Republican. I guess there are many interpretations of that. Obviously, the shootings and the gun control issue in general. A lot going on, and unfortunately, Pastor Steve, much of it isn't really good. But let's hope we can become better people out of
I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to a guy yesterday that was we're in the security meeting prior to the 6th. Just a few days prior to January 6th, and the president had asked and suggested that they bring in the National Guard for that day, just in case there were any disturbances on either side. And it's really funny because it was the D.C. police and that said no, they did not want them in there. But then they would turn around and want to blame the president for the uprising when the truth is that he made the offer. It was fully his suggestion to bring in the National Guard so there would be no problem. And regardless of how we look at the things that happened on that date, this continual trying to destroy this president is let's get on with making this country better. And, you know, when you've got to make a huge production to try to do that, and I'm just, you know what, I think that most of America, I hope that most of America is sick of it. What do you think?
I would say it is really being blown out of proportion, especially by the left. And, you know, I'm independent. We know you lean conservative, Pastor Steve, but you and I agree on many things. And it seems like they're dwelling and dwelling. It's like Donald Trump was a mastermind behind the whole thing. Now, I don't personally believe that. I'd also say that the left is a mastermind behind a lot of very bad things on their own. I guess as an independent, I can kind of talk about both sides, but I like to think we were all Americans and all on the same side. That's kind of how I grew up, but haven't been seeing much of that of late.
No, I think Americans, when it came to American issues, used to come together pretty well. And now it has just become so divisive. And what's really sad to me is that no one seems to have a problem with blatant lies. And as long as they're told over and over and over and over again, eventually people believe them to be the truth. It's just really gotten to a point where I think as Americans, as people, we've got to look at our parties and say, look, guys, I don't know what you're doing, but this isn't what we basically hired you to do. You know, they work for us. And they've lost that mindset a long time ago. And they become such an integral part of everything that goes on that most young people truly believe that we have to answer to the government and not vice versa. It was really interesting. I had a group of teenagers I was talking to. I may have already shared this, but hey, I'm getting old. I can be redundant if I want to. But I may have already shared this at another point. But I was talking to a group of young people, and I asked them the question. I said, what percentage of your life do you think that the government has the right to tell you what you can and can't do in your life? And they sat and thought a minute, and I said, now, kids, I want you to really think about this. What percentage of control should the government, does this government have the right to have a right over you? And do you know that the average coming back to me was about, some said 50% and some were as high as 70 or 75%. And the truth of the matter is the government has no right to have any control over any part of our lives. But our young people have been conditioned that they do. And if we don't realize as a country that we are an independent society that brings these people into government to serve us, and to do our bidding, we're a nation doomed. What do you think? It's just one of those things that we just have got to pull the reins in on this a little bit. I hope that people in Marion, Ohio, are still independent and rural enough that they can still think for themselves a little bit and can still say, you know, we don't have to follow what Big Brother tells us to do all the time. I don't understand how today we're getting to the point that if the government says something, we just do it. And, you know, we're finding now, months later, after, and actually a couple of years later after our whole COVID debacle, that so many of the things that were said were wrong. The things that Dr. Fauci said were wrong time after time and after time. But yet, do you know right now he's the highest paid government employee? What is that all about? And people still will march lockstep to whatever he told them to do. We found out the dangers, the physical dangers, and the of wearing a mask all the time and how it wasn't stopping this virus or even slowing it down in any form whatsoever. But yet, still today, with all that information being there, they're still talking about wearing masks. The news media still is talking about wearing masks. And there's people out there still religiously wearing masks. I don't understand how we have become so conditioned to be robots and minions of those that would use everything and everything possible to control us. I think that a lot of it is I think it is an experiment on control. How much will people be willing to do just if we say so? And I think that's a huge part of it. I also find it very interesting. If you look at the states that didn't mandate a lot of these things, and there's only a couple of them, of course, South Dakota being one of them, have the fastest economic recoveries and really never hit rock bottom, or had the death rate that everyone said they would if they didn't. So with that information, shouldn't we be doing something with that? Shouldn't we as Americans be saying, you know, asking what is going on? Why is it that we're taking states' rights away and giving them to the government? This whole decision coming out of the Supreme Court with Roe v. Wade, everyone thinks that they're putting an end to abortion, and the truth of the matter is, all they're doing is putting it back in the hands of the state, and which is what we were supposed to be from day one. We, you know, the states make their laws according to their population and their people, and they make those laws, and the government doesn't have a right to blanket anything like that. And we've continually, over time, bought into it. You know, we're so afraid of the IRS as people that when they say something, we jump. I'll be honest, you know, I get a letter from the IRS, my heart goes thump, thump, what is this? Because you just don't know. Now, I do everything correct and as I can, as everyone does, and you try to do everything above board, but we live in a country where you just don't know. Somebody can misplace a file, but it's your fault. And when people, bureaucrats, we saw what happened with COVID when you give them a little bit of control. They become like little micromanaging power brokers that shut down this and shut down that. And I remember last year, my daughter had suggested that we have a parade during Memorial Day. That she wanted to help get going. It's either Memorial or the 4th, I can't remember which, in our small little town. And the village was fine with it, but the Board of Health said no. Now, you tell me, with people on a sidewalk doing their own distancing, and you out in the middle of the street doing a parade, what danger there would have been in that. But the truth of the matter is, someone in the health department said, guess what? I can say no, and I can make all these people do what I say. And we have so much of that going on. And I think as Americans, we owe it to ourselves. And more than anything, we owe it to, first and foremost, a God that stood with us to make this independent nation. We owe it to the men and women who fought and died for our freedoms so we could be a free, independent, liberty-loving people. We owe it to them, if no one else, for the sacrifices put before us to stand up and say, this is ridiculous. We're not dealing with it. We are an independent nation, and we're independent people within that nation. And we're going to do what's right and what we see best interest in our own family. You know, currently, our current person that is the head of the National Teachers Union takes the opinion that parents have no right having any input in their children's education whatsoever. The National School Board Association, excuse me. No right for input whatsoever. Where did that come from? Raising children primarily, first and foremost, is always the parent's job. And the school is there to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. And if you do have kids that have problems at home, sometimes a loving teacher goes out of their way to be that special mentor, that person, and to help guide. But, you know, when I'm willing to be a parent, to love my kids and guide my kids, you better be keeping in contact with me on what's going on with them, not telling me that it's none of my business. they need to leave the gender of our little children alone. I find it interesting that you can tell that an 18-year-old today that he's not old enough, mature enough to buy a gun, which that's a whole other subject, and I'm not talking about gun control. I'm just saying that's a thing that's being said, but the very ones that are saying that are also saying that a 5-year-old can decide whether they're male or female and have surgery to go along with it. Have these people lost their minds? Well, I think they have. And I think that if we look at the first chapter of Romans in the Bible, it talks about this. It talks about, first, that God is evident everywhere. That's why God says there's no excuse for people that reject him. because in creation, you cannot look at creation around us and not see that there's intelligent design. You literally can't do it. And God says, first, you decide, am I going to reject or am I going to accept? And if you're, even though you may not understand, if you look at what's out there, something's going to tell you, you know what, I need to further investigate this. Or you can say, heck with it, I'm just going to do and believe what I want to believe, and I'm my master, and I'll go from there. Well, then we reject God, and when we reject God, we got to have excuses as to why. And it may be a lot of things. All Christians are just horrible people. They're haters. What are some of the other ones that are out there, you know? I totally believe in evolution, even though total evolution makes no sense. Darwin would do black backflips if he would see the things that were discovered since his death that totally refute everything that he believed. And he himself would not go along with the stuff I don't believe. DNA, when we discovered DNA and how it works, it blew evolution out of the water. But see, they won't talk about that. But anyway, this is maybe a subject for another day, but my point is, these people have to come up with an excuse if they reject God, why they reject God, and that's what they do. And then they become a hardened mind away from God. And God says in that same passage in Romans, at that point he gives them over to a debased mind. And a mind that doesn't believe truth. And I think we're seeing it full-fledged today. I know, Adam, you've said before that you don't understand how people can look flat at the evidence of medical evidence, research evidence of COVID and what went on during that period, and stand there and just not believe that what they're told, like sheep. And it's because they have that blank mind. And that mind that is willing to follow whatever's being said. I find it interesting that they talk about Christians being blind sheep. For crying out loud, most Christians I know are some of the most investigative, curious people I've ever met. And they dig into what they believe. You know, I don't want to follow something that's not true or something that's foolish. Of course I'm going to investigate and dig. And that's what we do. And I think that what's really sad today is that, you know, science always requires comparisons, study, digging deep, taking the evidence and weighing it back and forth. Well, they won't do that anymore. This is the way they say things are. They're not going to weigh the information. That's why they have totally excluded anything to do with a young Earth or creation. They've made up their own rules. They've interjected their own things that aren't true at all. But, you know, if you tell that lie long enough, people believe it. Something interesting that you out there at people that are listening, think about this. Do you remember when we were growing up in school, if you're over 35 probably, and they would show the progression of a horse, and they showed like that little thing that looked kind of like a dog, and then it would progress all the way up, and it would show the evolution of it as it became a horse? Do you know that was totally disproven so much that they now took that completely out of the books, and they've replaced it with the same model, only they use a camel. And, I mean, come on, folks. Did anybody tell you about that? Did they tell you the stuff that you were taught for years and years they found out could not have happened? But there's so much of that. And so much evidence is rejected. It's out there. I love to read the Acts and Facts magazine. Please, please, please. Go online and Google Creation Research Council, and they will send you a free Acts and Facts every month where true scientists take both sides of the equation, and they compare it, and they look at it with a lot of scientific data, but there's a lot of neat information in there. And you'll get that every month. You can read it. Look, if my life depended on it, my eternity depended on it, I would at least want to stop and take a look. But if you completely reject that, you don't want people comparing. You want them just to follow what you believe. And that's exactly what they accuse the church of doing. But that's exactly what they're doing in our schools today. They're taking out any comparison, anything whatsoever. They're saying this is the way it is, and it starts from the time the kids are in preschool. It's pretty bad when kids get preschool books that talk about this start out with billions and billions of years ago. How do they know that? There's so much evidence to the contrary of that. We can't trust any of the dating systems. Why is it that things that are billions of years old, they suddenly find things embedded in them that were made in the 3000 BC? How is that possible? You know, how is it some of this stuff that's been dated so old, they find axe heads buried in the middle of it? We have bought into so much, you know, smoke and mirrors in this country that it's unbelievable. And we continue to do it. We look at our economy is tanking hard, and people don't see it. And what has happened? We went from one of the most robust economies we have ever seen in this country. We had more jobs coming back to America. We weren't relying on foreign stuff nearly as much, and less every year. And what has happened now? We've gone to a point that we depend on everyone, and we're not getting supplies. And look at our gas prices. Please, please don't believe for one minute that our whole gas price thing is because of Putin. It just isn't so. We are a country that went from energy independence to total energy dependence in less than 6 months. And it's amazing that we shut down a pipeline that was being completed that was because it was environmentally unfriendly. So now what do we do? So now we put tankers and truck tankers on the road to burn thousands and thousands and millions of gallons of diesel fuel to haul stuff that would have went through a clean pipeline with no mechanicals whatsoever that burnt anything. Are people this foolish that they buy into this stuff? It is not about the environment. It is completely about someone's pocket, and it's completely about how the bureaucracies are going to come out in this, and who's going to profit to what, and what lobbyist is going to get this or that. And the American people that say, oh, I'm an environmentalist, I don't want that pipeline, and yet they approve something that just destroys our environment. It's the same thing with our electric cars. Have people even considered how much fuel is being burnt to make batteries and to mine lithium and all of these other things that are going on, and seen how much it really costs to build a car like that? We had a congressman in Michigan yesterday say that this fuel problem, you know, isn't bothering her, and that if people wouldn't worry about the gas prices if they just drove an electric car like her. And my thought process on that goes into, now wait a minute, you know, I'm sorry, but the average person out there in listening land out to you, Marion, Ohio, I don't think you can afford a $60,000 Tesla, and you've got to drive that car. And we have not come up with the best way to make these things economical, and people can't do them. And for the time being, we're going to have to do what we do. I'm all for alternative energies, but I think that it's a phase in and a phase out over time, not to just stop and destroy it. You know, we have a president that wants to literally stop the fossil fuel industry instantly. It's going to bankrupt this nation. We're having trouble. I mean, there's trucking companies right now closing right and left, and our supply line is disappearing, and there's none of you that haven't felt it. We're just seeing the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the prices in our stores, everything. I keep hearing on the news that food has gone up like 5 to 6%. I'm thinking, have they lost their mind? I'm buying this stuff. I know that it's gone up way more than 5 or 6%. But see, at the same time, in a positive note, a lot of people are using their head. I don't know if any of you out there ever have buy meat and have it processed in a meat locker, buy it from a farm or whatnot. The meat lockers are all at least a full year behind in scheduling, because so many people have gotten wise and are doing that now. They're not only getting something that they know where it comes from, and they know that it doesn't have a bunch of stuff injected in it from a foreign country, but they're having it processed locally, and it makes sense. People are gardening more. They're doing things. They're driving less. But you have to decide that you're going to take, excuse me, I think you have to decide you're going to take responsibility for your life, for one, and for your family's life. What can I do to make things easier on my family at home, to take a little bit of this pinch away? How about we quit running so much? How about we quit buying unnecessary things? How about we teach our kids the value of hard work and the value of starting a garden out back and picking your own tomatoes? Or I realize tomatoes aren't going to solve all your problem, and I'm by no means am I saying that. But it's time to teach them to be a little bit more self-sufficient. And I'll tell you guys, and I'll be honest, once the garden comes on in the summer, I say that we go for quite a while and eat probably 70 to 80% of our meals come from that garden in fresh things. And, you know, other than a few packs of seeds and a little bit of labor, it doesn't take that much to do. Water, where are you going to get water if the water supply isn't there? If you can't go to the store, do you know where any of the springs are located in the county? There's several of them, natural springs. You know, things of this nature to help a little bit. But the American people are going to keep consuming and depending and consuming and depending. And the more that they depend on the government, you know, it's kind of like the stimulus checks that went out. All those were meant for us to make us more dependent on the government. I did not understand during that whole time of stimulus why people were getting stimulus checks that literally never lost their job, never missed a beat. I actually know people that wanted to be on unemployment because they made twice as much on unemployment as they did their job. And, you know, the whole thing was very mismanaged. We're paying for it now. We're paying dearly. We're going to be paying for it for quite some time. But I had someone call the other day, and they were wanting their electric paid. And they hadn't paid their electric in a long time. And I thought, now, wait a minute. You just got all these stimulus checks. What were you doing with those? And that's what some of that stuff was for. I did not understand why people were getting stimulus checks, sometimes above bringing in more a month than they made before, but yet because there was a moratorium on paying rent, they weren't paying their rent. And that stuff's not free. And the sad thing about that is that, as you know, Adam, a landlord, you being one, a landlord has to pay his bills. He's got a loan on that property. How is he supposed to pay for that when they put a moratorium on people paying the rent? It destroys lives. Everything that we see going on so much is so counterproductive that's coming out of our bureaucratic system. And it's kind of like they just don't have a handle on reality. It really bothers me when I hear a politician say, I feel your pain, or I know how you feel. No, you don't. Most of them don't. I'm sure there's some that do. And in times past, we've had several that have come from hard beginnings. But we're looking at the privileged elite. Look, you don't go to Harvard and Yale typically and be a kid from the neighborhoods in Marion, Ohio, or Prospect, Ohio, that grew up without much and are doing the best they can. And a lot of times you come out with a far better education than them anyway. But the point being, they're privileged, and they've always been privileged, and they remain to be privileged. Why do you think that our government did not make themselves subject to the Affordable Care Act, which was a debacle? Because they knew that it was a debacle, and they wanted their special insurance they had that paid for literally everything. They don't make them subject to anything that we're subject to. And the amount of money being paid for what they do, which in most cases is very little. And it's sad because when you have politicians come in that want to do the right thing, they're ridiculed and run out because, heaven forbid, they expose who we are. It's kind of like when you're on a union job, excuse me, and there's amount of production being done, and they say, okay, this is your average production that a person should do. And a new guy comes in, and he's used to being an independent worker that's trying to make his money, so he tries to get the job done the best that he can, but he goes into this union job, and he starts working the way he always worked before, And they pull him aside and say, wait a minute, you can't do that. You're setting pace. You're outworking the number you're supposed to be doing. It makes everyone else look bad. It's going to cause a problem. It's going to cause an uproar. You've got to slow down and do less. And how ridiculous is that? But it just seems to be, you know, kind of where we are today. And it just isn't a good place to be. But, you know, in all honesty, there is hope. We've got to start teaching our kids the value of love. We've got to get back to basics, to free speech. Why is there only free speech on one side of things? Something I'm going to bring up is probably controversial. Maybe it's a good thing that we're not taping live today because I'd be getting calls coming in, which is fine. I'd field them anyway. But I found it very interesting, whether you agree with him or not, the man that spoke at the River Valley graduation, and it caused such an uproar because he talked about biblical values and encouraged the kids to stay in those relationships that where a woman marries a woman and a man marries a, a woman marries a man and a man marries a woman, and hold to those values. It made this huge uproar. Now, whether or not that was the time to do it or not, I don't want to get into that. But here's what I do want to get into. I had someone in my family recently graduate from Ohio State University. And in going to the commencement ceremony, it was the stuff being said was so liberal, left, hard left, liberal speech that it horribly offended many of the people I know that went there. And it wasn't about, it wasn't sexual comment. It was other things. Now, why is it that that can happen and nobody says a word? You can get up there and you can promote socialism. You can get up there and promote Marxism. You can get up there and condemn all day long. You can condemn Republicans and conservatives till the cows come home, and nobody's going to say a word. But the minute that somebody goes the other direction and promotes from the other side, oh, there's this huge uproar. Folks, we have free speech in this country. And the person that is speaking up for things that I don't believe in has every bit of right to speak as the person that believes in things I do believe in. And for people to say that they need fired or... See, this is what's happened in this country. We have people that can't even listen to debate anymore. They refuse to listen to debate because they've been conditioned to believe one thing and only one thing, and then it's exactly what they have accused the church of doing, of making people narrow-minded. But what they've done is they've made narrow-minded people. And it's quite interesting. We live in a free country. People can do whatever people can do that. If whatever relationship you decide to live in, far be it that it's so disgustingly immoral that I'm glad there's still laws against many of those things that you see people out there that have done. But the point being that you can live in any relationship you want to live in. That's the freedom we live in, barring children and livestock or whatever. I don't want to go there, but anyway. But the point being, don't tell people that just because they don't agree with you, if you don't like that, that somehow there's some wicked, evil, hateful person. I mean, come on, knock it off. Let's start being able to speak our truth and believe. Look for the truth. Dig for it. See, I don't want anyone to believe anything blindly. And even when I preach in the pulpit on Sunday, I tell people, you know, I'm just a messenger here, and I'm just teaching what I believe in the Word of God. And you know, I challenge them to dig for themselves, to look for themselves. And I challenge them, if you want to challenge something I brought up this morning, let's talk about it. And that's what we need to do. We need to inquire into things we don't understand, not just believe something easy. And I'm not sure how much of that we do. Adam, are you still out there, buddy?
Yes, right here, Pastor.
What time we got? How much time we got left?
About 10 minutes.
Okay. Adam, kind of, I've been rambling on here for a minute or two. Give me your thoughts on what I just said in the last couple minutes.
You know, I agree with much of it. I don't know what was said at the Ohio State speech, but I have some ideas. Bottom line is those opinions are wrong, whether they're right or left. We want to remember that we're all Americans, and obviously we're in a culture, the cancel culture, where people seem to be offended by almost anything, but there are extremes, and it goes both ways. That's probably something
exactly. That's my point. That is my point, and my point is that we're in a culture, it seems today, that at least in most of, you know, in most of our educational system, you're only especially at the college level, they're only willing to listen to one side, and everyone else gets booed or thrown out of there. And that's not the America that we're supposed to live in. Especially, you know, when you go to college, it's to broaden your horizons, right? Not narrow them.
I would
say,
Adam,
there seems to be a lot of narrowing going on.
Lack of a better term, Pastor Steve, take a chill pill might be a good thing to live by for many of us, myself included, because we're all kind of uptight about things. And there are obvious cases, but much of it, we'll look back in a generation and realize it's a bit ridiculous and people are afraid to voice any opinion. But certainly it's the time and the place. And the graduation issue has been a national news story.
Well, my only thought on the graduation issue is that, I don't know. You know, I do believe in the free speech. Obviously, the man that spoke up had a conviction that he wanted to send those kids out the door with. Whether or not he should have used that time or place to do that, I'm not sure. But I will say this. In this current culture, if somebody would have stood up and promoted, let's just say the opposite side of that, okay, I don't think that you would have heard the uproar. I'm not sure. But I will say this, that it was a time when kids were graduating, and it's a shame that it got derailed. It should be a time where the kids look back on their graduation and they can be proud and say this is what went on. I'll tell you something that has bothered me the last couple of years in one of the graduations I've been going to. You know, prayer, people believe that prayer isn't allowed in school, and that's not true. Prayer is allowed in school, but it has to be student-led. It cannot be brought in by somebody on the outside or a school teacher and them saying, we're going to do this. Now, if a student would ask an adult, they can do that. That's how we have See You at the Pole every year, where we stand around a flagpole one day and pray for the school and whatnot. And so in high school graduations, it's very much allowed. I mean, it's law that it's allowed. But so many people are so afraid of controversy. This particular school I've gone to the last couple of years to a graduation, is the first time I've ever seen there that there is not one mention of God or prayer in the graduation ceremony whatsoever. And it's really sad because I know that a lot of people, that's been such a part of, and even the prayers that went up when I've been there before, they haven't been some huge agenda-driven prayer. They have been a prayer for the future of the kids and all of these kind of things. But we're so afraid of that, the superintendents many times have said, you know what, I don't want to hear one word about God. Well, come on. Whether we like it or not, this country was founded not by religionists, but this country was truly founded by Christians. And that's what a lot of our background and base is. And why do we want to throw the baby out with the bathwater? And that just seems to be the direction things are going. But I wish that we would, like you said, Adam, I think we need to take a chill pill and quit being so uptight about a lot of things. One thing that we've lost in this country is that I think people loved each other a lot. And what I mean by that is they were willing to be there for their neighbor. They were willing to be understanding. I can tell you this, and I can tell you this honestly, that I don't know anyone that I hate. I don't care who they are. There's some people I don't like what they say, but I hope the best for everyone. And I hope that everyone, would I like them to believe what I believe? Absolutely I will, because I firmly believe it. Not because I'm trying to control them, but because I believe that that would be the best thing for their life, so I'd love for them to believe that. But I can't force my beliefs on anyone. I can suggest them, but it doesn't mean I stop caring for them if they don't want to believe it. Does that make any sense?
I would say we only have one life to live. We only have one life to live, Pastor Steve, and loving your fellow people, even if we don't always agree, that's something we need to be ingrained in our brains from a...
Absolutely, that is one of those things that we're being taught to be divisive. And calling it, in the name of unity, we're being taught to be divisive. I'll tell you that I get... I know we're running low on time here, but it really bothers me that we talk about racial inclusion. But every program and CN special event I see out there that they put on wants to be something that separates us out separately. I love some of the people that have spoke out and said, quit calling me black or quit calling me designating my color. I am an American and a human being, and that's what I am. I don't want to be known as the white guy. And I want to be known as the person. And we constantly have these events and these clubs and these groups that pull us aside and make us different. And that does not help us one bit, I don't believe. I want a friend because they're a friend, not because of what color they are. And I want to respect people's heritage. I think that all of our nationalities have wonderful heritages to look back on and study. But quit trying to force everything on us. Let us be Americans and quit trying to make it a front issue all the time. Not everything out there is about race, or is about sexual orientation, or is about this, or is about that. How about we just try to seek the truth in our life, desire what's right, and if somebody wants to encourage, look, if I want to invite you to church because I care about you and I think that what I believe is what you need, there should be nothing wrong with that. You have the ability to say, no, I'm not interested. But I'm not trying to be some religious nut and shove something down your throat. You understand what I mean?
That sounds very logical.
Just like you would come to me and someone would come to me and say, you know, Pastor, I don't believe any of that stuff. Let me tell you what I believe. I can listen to them or not, but I don't need to beat them up. And we're doing fine, and our government's encouraging it. We have the most divisive administration in the history of the United States right now. And I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat or independent or libertarian or what you are. If you can't see that, you're blind.
Well, I think we can agree on that, Pastor.
What's that?
I think we can agree on that. Ironically, the same people that think we should just love each other and be an open-minded nation are the ones who are the most divisive and the ones who are encouraging divisiveness. That, to me, seems very obvious.
Did you say we could agree on that or disagree on that?
Oh, I think we can agree.
Yeah, they're encouraging it over and over and over again. You know, when we have shootings, immediately they go to and they attack this or they attack that, and they pick and choose what place they're going to go to, and they always got to bring their agenda into it. How about just trying to love people and get to the bottom of why young people are wanting to kill each other? You know what I mean? We got a problem with that, and that's where we got to be. We need to be teaching young people to love one another and to love them, and that's how they're going to learn it. You can say it all day long, but if you don't show it, it ain't going to happen. And the last place they want to look for love and an example is our leadership, because they're not going to get it there. All they're going to see is fight, 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 and argue, and you know what I mean?
Excellent show today, Pastor Steve.
I say shame on them. Hey, Adam, have a great week, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. Politics are part of our life, no matter what aspect we discuss. And so great commentary. Agree or disagree, that's what gets dialogue going. The Pastor Spot
Absolutely,
on every
buddy.
Friday on the station, 9:13 a.m. until 10. Thanks, Pastor Steve. Have a great weekend.
God bless you, Adam. I'll see you, buddy.